This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Now, Andrew Gild is the producer of a fantastic I'm not even going to call it an event. It's a production.
Spectacular.
It's coming to Melbourne. The St. Petersburg Ballet Theatre, Swan Lake and the Nutcracker. And it's actually going to be performed in the plenary at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre, which I'm fascinated. That is a space I think will really, really flatter this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on 13th, 14th, 15th of December for Swan Lake, 16th and 17th for the Nutcracker. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, Andrew, the St. Petersburg Ballet, tell us about them. I imagine that they're amazing and very talented performers.
Well, they're a beautiful medium-sized ballet company. Mm-hmm. They're actually a privately owned ballet company.
Okay.
And even more surprisingly, they were started off by an ex-paratrooper. The leader of the company, Konstantin Tachkin, was a soldier in the Soviet army and was demobbed in the early 90s and came back to St. Petersburg and started to work in the tourist industry. And he found that all the cruise ships would arrive into St. Petersburg and all the Americans would get off and say, "I want to see the Russian ballet."
Yes.
And he would be charged with shipping them out or busing them out to the boondocks and see these horrible put-together little ballet companies that were really a blight the Russian ballet scene.
Of course, yep.
And he said to himself, "Okay, I am now going to start. I see this as a popular art form.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start a ballet company." And he did just that.
Mm.
He invested a lot of money and built beautiful sets and costumes and auditioned a company which is mainly from the Vaganova Ballet School, which is probably the world's original ballet school going back 250 years.
Wow.
And he got all these dancers together. And he had a good success in St. Petersburg and was invited to tour in England. And that's where I discovered them about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I have done tours with them, well, all over the place. South Africa, Australia several times, New Zealand. And last year, this little Melbourne company took them to London and played in the Coliseum, which is a beautiful Edwardian theatre just off Leicester Square.
Mm.
And all the English said, "Oh, here comes these brash Australians presenting ballet. They'll fail. They'll only be able to sell a few thousand seats." And we sold 23,000 seats because people love pure classical ballet, traditional classical ballet. And that is unashamedly what the St. Petersburg Ballet Theatre do.
Mm.
They have a repertoire of full-length works. We're doing two here, as you said, Nutcracker and Swan Lake. But they also have a beautiful Don Quixote, which we've done recently in South Africa. They've got a Sleeping Beauty. They've got, obviously, a Giselle. All the favourite full-length ballets that maybe, you know, it's maybe not what the Australian ballet subscribers who go to the ballet five times a year, but it's for those people who want that special occasion and want to go and see a pure traditional classical ballet. Lots of point shoes, lots of tutus,
yeah.
And that's what the St. Petersburg give.
And you almost can't get any more classical than the Swan Lake and Nutcracker. Why do people love these two ballets so much?
I think it's because they are traditional.
Mm.
They're both wrapped up in beautiful Tchaikovsky scores.
Mm.
And there is no doubt about it that Tchaikovsky music is, I don't know, he was just the greatest ballet writer, ballet music writer, indeed opera as well, symphonies, whatever. We all know Tchaikovsky music and we all have a favourite piece of Tchaikovsky music. what else makes them popular? I think it is the thing of point shoes and tutus and lavish scenery, and it's almost what's on the packet you actually get to see inside as well. Mm. So it's a delivery thing to people who go to ballet once every 5 years or once every 10 years. It's especially interesting for students. Mothers and grandmothers, you see them there. You see little 4-year-olds dressed in tutus coming into the ballet. And it really is. You know, when you see these little kids coming in and sitting on the edge of their chairs, and down at the plenary they give them a little cushion to sit on as well. And they are in awe of this magic. But so are the adults. The adults are sitting back in their chairs and they're getting the music surrounding them and just the pure beauty, the pure escapism of going to a beautiful ballet.
You've brought so many productions to Australia. I mean, Prime Minister, I saw that. That was really
bit of fun.
Really, and you know, still watch the television show. It's still, there's always something you miss in each episode you pick up. You've been doing that for a really, 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 really long time, Andrew. What's the biggest? A very long time.
A really, really long time.
Okay. What is the biggest challenge, particularly something like this where there's a lot of people and the venue, because the plenary at the convention centre is a different venue.
Mm.
What's the biggest challenge?
There's several challenges. The first and biggest one, I suppose, is making the right choice of product. Something that we anticipate people will want to see, because you cannot force things down people's throats. You just can't. Mm. It has to be something that they want, and that's probably the hardest bit. Then you get to the logistical side of things, where you have to line up theatres. It's all very well to get a theatre in Melbourne, but you have to have one in Adelaide preceding and one in Sydney following, as we do on this particular occasion. And if you're lucky enough, you can match in Singapore and Macau as well. So lining up theatres is really difficult because theatres don't particularly like just 1 week out of their calendar. They like to book Phantom of the Opera for 2 years. That's heaven for a theatre owner. Sure. You know, that's the way that goes. The next challenge is logistics. But logistics. You just do it. You book shipping containers and aeroplane seats and hotels. And then marketing. And marketing is a big challenge these days because of the changing landscape of marketing, whereas Saturday morning you used to buy the Age or the Herald Sun and open it up and you'd see your full-page ad, and on Monday morning you'd see the ticket sales sail away. Mm. Well, I'm the only one that reads the newspapers in my company. Everybody else is, you know, looking down at this little screen and seeing something, going to a website and booking. So now the challenge in marketing is using social media to the great advantage, and it's a hugely growing area.
Mm.
And as I said, you've done this for a very long time. I'm looking back at your history. Next year will be 50 years?
No, it's longer, actually.
Oh, it's longer?
Yes, it is. I started off in 1961 as a child actor.
There we go.
And I was the Artful Dodger in the original production of Oliver here in Australia.
Amazing.
So that's 1961. So how much?
39.
For 55 years. Yeah.
Good innings.
So, yes, it's a long time, and it's been a...
You must have been a very small child, very young child then.
Yes, I was. Yes. You know, 15, I was very, very young, or 14, whatever it was. And then I gave up being... I did a number of shows. I did King and I and Robert Elizabeth and a few other bits and pieces. And then I decided that I was more interested in the challenge of being on the management side of things.
Right.
And I worked with Michael Edgley for 38 years.
Yep.
Specialised in managing the Russian side of the Edgley business, which then morphed into the classical ballet side of the Edgley business, and spent a lot of time travelling in the Soviet Union looking at ballet companies and folk dance companies, which were very popular in the late 60s and 70s. Yep. Then we got into circuses and did some big circuses. And in fact, I'm doing a classical ballet at the moment, and on Tuesday I'm flying to Johannesburg where we're doing a very big Moscow circus.
Right.
Wow. So, you know, it's from one thing to the other. And that's what Australian producers have to do. You can't be like a London producer where you specialise in one thing. You specialise in drama or you specialise in musicals. In Australia, producers have got to, you know, whatever it is to get a commercial business running, that's what you have to do.
So how do you switch between the different genres then? Do they each have their distinct needs that you have to be able to adapt to, or is it pretty much a production is a production? And
no, they are different.
Yeah,
they are very different.
Mm.
With a ballet company like St. Petersburg, we're dealing with one person. We're dealing with Konstantin Tachkin, who owns the company, and maybe we're dealing with the ballet staff as well. But with a circus, you're dealing with maybe 16 individual acts, and they've all got different temperaments, and they've all got different needs. And one of them wants a soft ring and another one wants a hard ring, and you know, and they're all over the place.
Sounds
it's
like a radio
job.
Like a radio station.
Yes. And of course we have to cart our venue. We're a bit like a snail. We have to cart our venue around on our backs
course,
as well.
Yeah.
We have a big top, a 1600 seat big top tent that we travel
That's
around
insane.
The world where we're doing circuses.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So 13th, 14th, 15th of December. It's at the plenary at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. Everyone knows where that is. It's near Jeff's shed. And the Nutcracker, 16th and 17th. I think I'm really interested that you're using that venue.
It really is an undiscovered gem, or in fact it is a discovered one. Melbourne Symphony Orchestra performed there. We had Mrs. Brown's Boys down there as well, and 100,000 people went down there. Surprisingly, it surprised me, I have to say, that people know exactly where it is.
Mm.
They're happy to go there. It's got nice cafes and bars and big roomy foyers. And once you get inside, it's like a palace. I mean, it is so beautiful. And every seat's like a business class seat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a beautiful theatre.
It
is. Really
great.
Is.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And great acoustics too.
Yeah, no, everything about it. We love it. Yeah. The management of it are cooperative. They love having shows down there rather than just dentists' conventions, you know. And the plenary itself is a theatre. It's not it's not a flat floor exhibition room. It's a proper theatre. Mm. It's with fly tower and sound systems.
It's
lovely. Lovely, lovely place.
Well, look, we wish you all the best. Hopefully South Africa goes off well for you as well.
Thank you.
Anyone who's interested in classical ballet, you really should get and have a look. And, of course, tickets, usual place, Ticketmaster, etc. And you can St. PetersburgBallet.com is Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. Have a look. Andrew Gould, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know it's going to be a fantastic show. Break a couple of legs.
Yeah, no, say that to the dancers.
No, you don't want you don't want them to break legs.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for bringing it to Australia. Really, really think it's going to be a great show.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.